Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Tuesday, the 24th of March. Right, obviously things escalated further yesterday. Let's just talk about it a little bit because for us now, Sam has had the notification from the NHS. So not only have we got to stay in, or she's got to stay in, we essentially have to try and live apart in the same house. Can't go within 2 metres of her, 6 feet, is the advice. She's not allowed outside at all. We've got, windows open. So this is going to be 12 weeks of absolute nightmare now. And I sort of say to people, it's bad for everybody. And then you get things like this, and this is going to be a nightmare for us. You've got to organise how we're going to eat meals, how to keep Jack away from her. Obviously, I'm going out with the dog. And there's people worse than me. I mean, an FTS member's Trevor, lovely guy, Trevor, super guy. And I mentioned him on Twitter ages ago for charity. He's got a 7-year-old boy who's had the same notification. And then obviously you take it a stage further. There's people who'll be in worse stages than him, and people who are losing people. I've got sort of one overriding thought, and it's we'll get through this. We'll manage it, As I've said to people before, when you're moaning and whinging at people, you don't know what's going on in anybody else's house. This is a massive thing for us now, how we're going to manage these next 12 months and mentally, keeping Sam upbeat. I'm petrified of her getting it. She's petrified herself of getting it. Jack's petrified of her getting it. He's scared to go around the little corner shop in case he bumps into somebody and brings it home. It's horrendous. And then you see what's going on. And I keep saying it's not the time for backbiting or sniping. It's time for the British public to actually just have something about them, responsibility. And we all moan about politicians and that. It is not the time. I see that this morning. Piers Morgan, Michael Gove misspoke or got something wrong. These guys, I agree. Brian Rendell, lovely guy. Brian, one of my favourite FTS members down in the West Country. He sort of pulled me up yesterday saying, having a go at Trump and Boris. These guys are under immense pressure. They're dealing with something totally unprecedented, fast moving. Of course, they perhaps could have acted quicker, could have acted earlier. But they are doing it. I've got no doubt they're going to help self-employed people this week. That's certainly what's coming out of what I'm reading. But it's so fast moving. But ultimately, they can do whatever they like. If the British public carry on behaving like they're behaving, it makes it harder. It goes on for longer. And we don't get anywhere. And that is the issue. And you reports this morning, even after this, of high streets, like people are out for a summer walk, the tubes are packed, and yes, the government have got to act on that. But people like Piers Morgan, oh, for fuck's sake, what's the policy there? It just doesn't help. And then it stokes people up on Twitter, etc. And it doesn't help. We've got to take responsibility ourselves. I couldn't, genuinely at the minute, I couldn't give a fuck about anybody other than keeping Sam safe. But I won't. In that, going, I wouldn't dream of putting anybody else in danger. It just doesn't matter. And if I can help other people by doing podcasts, keeping people entertained, WhatsApp groups, I'm trying to stay upbeat with it all. I'm not happy about it. But the British public never fail to just wind me up. And it isn't a time for calling people out and, oh, why aren't they doing it? Well, they put your energy into what can you actually do to make this better, and what can you do to protect yourself and protect others so we all stay safe? And once we do that, it will be over quicker. It is simple as that. And Brian, I know you're listening. I cannot possibly agree with you at Trump. Yes, I could perhaps give Boris a bit of leeway, and I'm no Boris fan. Immense pressure. Trump is an idiot. He's got no interest. Look at the timeline, dismissing it as a Democrat hoax. The 15 cases will be down to zero. We're in a great place. Claiming that he knows medical knowledge, they think I'm great, they think I'm a doctor. Well, they're asking me why I didn't do that. I know so much about it. The guy is an absolute buffoon, and he always will be, and he is absolutely way out of his depth in this. Way out of his depth. You are right in the general view. We've got to cut people slack. And it's easy to moan. It's easy to be an armchair critic. It's easy to sit back and say, I would do this. It's a bit like me with trading. What's happened has happened. You know, if I have a bad day trading, I look at it. Did I make mistakes there? Right. I can't do anything about it. All I can do is do better the next day. Get up and, right, don't make those mistakes. What did I do? And do better the next day. We can only look at the way forward. What is happening? And I see that last night, you know, somebody again pulled me up at McDonald's. Oh, that perhaps they can't get food. Absolute nonsense. It's McDonald's because it was shut in. And I said yesterday about how we've become behind America. We always follow them. Obesity is one area again. We used to laugh at Americans for being massive and huge 20 years ago. Now walk down our high streets. So I used to walk down my high street with my gran. People used to say hello to her. Everybody spoke and people looked predominantly fit. Now you just see massive fat people everywhere and it's all eating that shit. There's absolutely no need for it. People are saying you can't get food. I've been out to the supermarket 3 times. One was empty, and the other times I've been able to pick up, maybe not what I wanted, but something that I can make a meal of. And all this, I'll learn your time, learn to cook. Plenty of stuff on the internet. You do not need to run down McDonald's and shove a fucking load of shit in your mouth. Fat bastard, simple as that. And queuing up to get in there, I find it staggering. Anyway, there you are. There's my rant of the day. But yes, so... For the next couple of days, I'm just going to be sorting out my home life and how we actually, you know, how we actually manage this day to day. Trying to avoid your wife of 30 years is new to me. For some people, it'd probably be nirvana. But we'll see where we get to. Right, what have we got? What have we got? Somebody put Sevi up. Let's say I thought I told this story on the pod. Sevi. He is absolutely one of my sporting heroes, Sevi Ballesteros. And somebody put a picture of him on the pod the other day on Twitter or so. I can't even remember what it was about now, being me. But he was an absolute legend when he won the Open in 88. It was fantastic. I used to go and watch a bit of golf when I was a kid. And when I was 17, I think it was 88 also, Europe at the time was dominating golf. I was a 16, 17 year old lad, and they were playing at Wentworth. I think it was before the match play, might have been before the PJ, but I think it was before the match play. They were playing a skins game, and they had Europe's big five at the time, which were Faldo, Lyle, Langer, Woosnam, and Ballesteros, playing a 5-man skins game for charity. Skins, basically, you win the hole, you win whatever it was at the time, a grand, and you tot it up, and if you don't win the hole, it rolls over to the next one, and eventually that you know, you pick up XYZ for your charity. And playing the 18th, I was up by the green. It's a par 5, and Sevi and Faldo I can't remember what the skin was, but Sevi and Faldo are the only two who can win it. And Faldo has knocked it on the green into about 30 feet short. And Sevi has carved it into the sort of barrier right of the green, literally about 5-6 yards from me. And there was a White and Mackay or whatever it was banner there. So he had the railings that were keeping the crowd back and this White and Mackay banner. So he's come over and... his usual antics, wants a drop. So he's called over a referee, and a guy a few down from me who was nearer to him said, "Oh, stop all this getting on with it. Just get on with it. Play it always after drops," or words to that effect. I can't remember. It's 30 years ago. I can't remember the exact time, exact comments, but words to that effect. This bloke in the crowd basically started having a go at him about wanting a drop. Get on with it. And anyway, in the end, they've given him a drop. So he's dropped the ball, and then it's him to play, and he's chipped it in. So he's chipped it in for an eagle, which ends up winning him the skins game. So the others have still got the putt. Faldo had to putt because I think they got points for birdies or whatever as well, and Langer had to putt. So he's chipped in, gone and got his ball. The others are putting. While the others are putting, he's walked over to the guy who was shouting at him, and he's gone, "Nice drop, eh?" And it was just brilliant. It's just a memory I had of him. Not particularly a funny story, but just the way he went over to the guy afterwards. He went, "Nice drop, eh?" Because the guy was giving him a load of grief. But yeah, a fantastic sportsman. He's one of my absolute heroes, you know, a character. I always say in sport now, whilst you admire them, they're not characters. You know, Mickelson's a bit of a character, but you look at what we lived through in the 80s, people like McEnroe, Connors, even people like Jockey Wilson and that in the darts, Alex Higgins, Jimmy White in the snooker, Seve on the golf course. We had characters in sport. We lived through a great era then, and it's all a little bit sterile now, and they're all super athletes. And you know, I look at the golfers and think, would I want to go out for a beer with any of them? No, all nice guys, but not got much about them, have they? So yeah, he was just, for me, he was just brilliant, absolute brilliant. So yeah, that was the Seve story. Just back on to, can't get away from this virus, but just a thought that occurred to me this morning. It is the 24th of March. The 1st is looming, or the sort of payday, I imagine, for people is looming. Phone and defer payments. Everybody's going to let you do it at the minute. You will have to contact them. So if you do need to defer your mortgage for the 3 months that's allowed, or you need to defer electricity, gas, water, whatever, get in touch with them before the end of the month and defer those payments. Just something that I thought about lying in bed having a cup of tea this morning. Do that. Right, what else have we got? Well, we had a nice winner on the horses yesterday, didn't we? A nice little winner there. Right, what else have I got for you? Joke of the day. Joke of the day, joke of the day, joke of the day. See, I can add in jingles now with my singing skills. What's the best thing about Switzerland? I don't know, but the flag is a big plus. There you go, see? You're rolling in the aisles. I know you're rolling in the aisles. Old Suggsy, what did I tell you? I said he wouldn't get the one yesterday, Argon. He didn't get it. He's even Googled it, hasn't got it. He's phoned me later. He said, I didn't get the joke. You're right. He won't be getting that one either. What's the best thing about Switzerland? I don't know, but the flag is a big plus. Hey, interesting. I did a video yesterday. I always wonder with things like this. I wonder whether, because I did the podcast and had a couple of queries, I thought it was easier to make a video. I did a video about data. And then again, a couple of people got in touch with me. I wasn't digging anything out, but people don't like being told it might be wrong. I just made a video, which is on the blog, ftsincome.co.uk/FTS blog, about data correction, what we have to do with football scores. And, you know, you've got to get these scores from somewhere. And ultimately, you've got the Associated Press at the top, and they'll feed different providers who all try and do it in different forms through API feeds. And you choose one, you know, you can go to the top and pay fortunes, but you choose one. And we've got two or three of these coming in to actually get your results and when goal times went in and that, you know, whatever service or whatever way you're operating, to get that data, it's got to come from somewhere, because to sit and do it manually is impossible. So I talked about this on the video, that this data's got to be correct. And I talked about it in yesterday's podcast. I made a video quickly of what we have to do just to correct score lines, because the assumption that this data coming in is correct is massively wrong, because it's a fucking nightmare, I can tell you. So I made a quick video, but it's interesting. The video I made about the match odds analysis compared to the video I made about data, it's like 70-80% more people watch the match odds one, because there might be a system in it. Systems are irrelevant if your data's wrong, let me tell you that. The most important part to me is that the data is 100% correct, because if it's not, then you're just pissing into the wind. So it's just interesting how people, how you guys respond to what goes on. If I put a video up tomorrow saying I'm going to give a free system that's 100 points, I'm sure loads of people would be jumping on it. If I put one on about a process, not so much. It's just just a comment, just interesting how people absorb information. Stat of the day. What's the stat of the day? Stat of the day. We're going back to the 3.5 again. I've got to find it now, though. I've lost that. Hold on. I did have it here. Here it is. Right, I talked about over 3.5 back in yesterday, and obviously how they can be used for trading. This one is over 3.5 laying. So over 3.5 laying, again, it can be traded. The price will drift in your favour as goals don't go in. And this one has produced over 27 months, only a small amount, 161 bets in the Spanish Primera. A league again, perception of a lot of goals, Spanish Primera, but we're going to lay over 3.5. So we're saying there's going to be under 3.5 goals. Worst losing month is 5 points. 6 losing months out of 27. And laying over 3.5 between 3.15 to 3.7 produces 48 points profit after commission. And these figures, by the way, are to 5% commission, because when the sheets were set up, that's what was programmed in. Obviously, that's changed for most people to 2% now if you take take over Betfair's offers. So it isn't... these are worst case figures. It would be actually better than that, the figures I quote. Had an email yesterday about funds in betting accounts. There was somebody did a rounds, and I know Carnberry did a video about ranking the bookmakers, how they're ranked for. You know, Betfair is very high protection. Betfair's funds sit in a trust account. They don't sit there. If I had my money in a dodgy bookmaker, I think one went bust in it, Moplay or something. Then yes, but there is some info on the internet about what is high protection, and Betfair is high protection. I certainly don't expect them to go bust, although their figures will be affected, and when it does come back, I think that I was talking to somebody this morning, I think there will be a glut, particularly on football. So of course it's gonna take, put a hole in everything, but yeah, there's no qualms from me for people having money in Betfair. If, you know, even the big bookmakers, it would be the ropey little ones, which I mean I don't know anything about because I don't use them, but certainly people who've got match betting accounts and things, that if you're using some of these lesser known things, then I would have a little check out of that and have the minimum in there. Yeah, it's not anything that I'm massively concerned about, my end at all. What else have I got? Book of the day. Right, book of the day. Right. I'm going to turn my focus. I need to speak to a couple of people, but I've had a word with Chrissy's spreadsheets. I need to speak to Ryan. I need to speak to Dave. I'm going to try and turn my attention to not just this, but some other bits and pieces that we can fill time with. So I was going to do some quizzes on the website or on Twitter. I'm going to try and get it on the website if I can. And we're going to look at doing a virtual football, sort of fantasy football type thing for people. So all that I'm going to try and get in place over the next week. Once I've sorted out the home arrangements of how we're going to operate, then I'll have a bit of time to do that. But the book of the day is Work Energy and Jim Harmer. Work Energy, Jim Harmer. I got it on Kindle Unlimited. Really good book. Brand new book, only came out at the end of last year. And basically it's Work Energy, finishing what you start and taking on goals. But in that, Shazwad from Wigan somehow has about 10 copies, is what the text said to me. I've got about 10 copies. I don't know how that is. I think that's some sort of raid gone there and in the old, put it in the car boot. So I thought what we'd do when we do some of these other activities, when we do the quizzes and the fantasy football, I will give, so don't need to run out and buy this one, everybody, for the minute. I will give you the option to win a copy. I'll say 5 originally because I'm not 100% certain how many Shaz has got or what she's done with them, but I'm going to have 5 copies of that to give away, which I will factor into the stuff we do to sort of keep you entertained through the next few weeks. So a bit of whether we get this fantasy football off and running and can get some quizzes going or whatever, I will make the prizes this Work Energy, Jim Harmer, Finish What You Start and Fearlessly Take On Any Goal. That is the book of today. So this is a guy, 9 years ago, was working at a dollar store stocking shelves while struggling through law school. And he basically has learned and sharing how he's created his own big company and sharing thoughts and processes of how to do it, and it's called Work Energy. So that is the book of the week, and as I say, we'll have some copies, a book of the day rather, and we'll have some copies to give away. What else was there? Oh yeah, recipe. I had a recipe for you. Somebody wanted a recipe. I've got to find that again now. Flipping XC, all this stuff. Oh, and then we've got the racing. We had a nice winner yesterday. I've got to do that as well. Let's do the racing first. Let me do the racing. Where are we today? We're at Clonmel. I've got the singing's coming, guys. We've got a full on. I know you all want to hear it. Everybody wants to hear it. There. Medley. Stars on 45 medley coming. That's what's coming. Oh, bear with me. Bear with me. Sorry, guys. Here we go. Going to do some best of pods as well. Talking to Steve Williamson about the old numbnuts Jethro. And we're going to do some... best of pods, the Jethro story, because I'm sure we've got some new listeners now who've missed that story when I told Jethro he wasn't funny. Stand by it, by the way. I know old Steve likes him, but I'm standing by it, Steve. He's just not funny. Right, where were we? Right, this bad boy here is in the 4:30 at Clonmel. The 4:30 at Clonmel, small win and place, highest benefit. Trevor Ryan's mount, highest benefit, small win and place. We had a nice winner yesterday. We'll try and keep them going. No trades. There was one on the flat at 5 o'clock, but I think the price is not really favourable. It's a big price. Western Run, I was going to look to trade it, but I don't like trading the big prices. It's 41 side 60. I don't know where that's going to end up. So we won't be involved. I won't be involved in that one. So it is just highest benefit in the 4:30 Clonmel small win and place. Recipes. Right, I'm going to talk you through a really simple one. And this is bolognese. Easy to get some mince at the minute, but people just do not make their bolognese properly. They're too busy throwing too much in it, not cooking it long enough. So I'm going to talk you through the perfect bolognese sauce. You need some extra virgin olive oil, good quality oil if you can get it, onion, one carrot, one stalk of celery, a bit of garlic. That's where we start. Chop all that up. So chop the onion, chop the carrot, chop the celery, chop the garlic, but chop it really small. You want to make a sauce. We don't want a bolognese with a load of lumps in it. The meat provides the texture. We want a sauce, as Greg, what's his name, would say. So get that on a low heat, lowish heat, because we want to cook it. We don't want to colour it. We just want to cook it through. So for about 6-7 minutes on a low to medium heat, really finely chopped onion, carrot, celery. Take your time chopping it. Cook it until it starts to go soft. Once it's softened after 6 or 7 minutes, add the beef and breaking it up and browning it. If it lets off any water or fatty juices, drain them out so that you've got a drier pan with your meat. Well, now you've got your brown mince in it, you've got your onion, your celery, your garlic, and your carrot. Right, now the key ingredient. Get the pan up high, really high, and get a good half bottle of red wine. Just cook's wine, whatever, but a good half bottle of red wine. Get it in the pan, boil it down till it's pretty much gone. Then couple of tins of tomatoes in, rinse round the tins with about 100 ml of water, get that in, a bay leaf, good half a tube of tomato puree, and just stir all that in, so stir all that together, lid on the pan with a slightly bit of jar, just enough to let a little bit of steam out, good 2 hours on a low heat, minimum 2 hours, maybe even three. Occasionally stirring it, but just really let it cook, let the flavours get into it, and turn it into a really, really nice sauce. Once that's done, then at the end, just add a small amount of milk, just a tiny amount of milk, salt and pepper, season it, and again stir that round. You can now leave that. If it goes cold, that's fine, because you can then, whenever you're ready, get your pasta. And I'm going to give you another little tip, that a linguine works better than a spaghetti for spaghetti bolognese, believe it or not, because it's slightly thicker, it coats more sauce on it. So I always use linguine, a little bit of linguine there, and don't put the pasta on the plate and dollop the sauce on top. Cook your linguine, stir it into the sauce, get the two completely and utterly joined together, then serve. tear up some basil leaves on top, bit more salt and pepper, you are away and running. That, ladies and gentlemen, will be, and oh, a little note as well, when you use your mince, use half pork mince, half beef mince, half and half. They're both cheap as chips, so if you buy a pack of pork mince, pack of beef mince, if you're making a big one, put them both together, but if not, take half out of each, mix them together, freeze the other halves, and you've got another one. Make as much sauce as you like, you can freeze it. So there you go. Very quick to put together. Take your time doing the chopping. Sauce lasts forever. Job done. So there you go. That is how to make the best bolognese. Try it. All these people who say I can't be bothered to cook, crack on. Right, I've told you about Sam. I think I should just shoot her, that'd be that, wouldn't it? Hey, save me the bother. Done the Seve story, we've done the book of the day, we've done the joke of the day, I've told you about bill payments. Try and be nice to people, stay safe. You know, the time for moaning about this will be later. Stay safe. Whatever we do today affects what's happening 2 weeks down the road. I mean, I said to who was it? Somebody I said to you yesterday, and I've subsequently seen somebody else say, oh, they said we were 2 weeks behind Italy. And because we haven't had as many deaths as them, they don't realise it's a rolling 2 weeks, like 4 days have passed and there. I said, you realise it's rolling? It's my brother, my numpty brother, back from America. See, he's lived in America for 52 years, thick as fucking mince. I said, that's where we're going to be. So where they were on the 4th of March is where we'll be 18th of March. Where they were 10th of March, where we'll be 24th of March. He couldn't get that. He thought 4 days, we hadn't caught them up. So how can we be 2 weeks? Honestly, I mean, I wonder what's going on. He works for a flipping big firm as well. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Right. Stay safe. As I say, I'm not going to be much about today. I'm going to try and get a plan in our head for exactly how we're going to live day to day, week to week in this situation. We'll go from there. But have a lovely, what is it? Tuesday.